Hello, everyone. It's good to be here. Ah, that didn't sound good. It's good to be here. Yes, I'm just glad to be here tonight. You know, God has been good to me, and I believe God has been good to you. Amen? The reason why I say it's good to be here is that when you think about what's going on right now and some places, you know, with this hurricane, I need to say there is, by the grace of God, that we have this opportunity to be here tonight. Amen? There's family right now who doesn't, they lost everything. I don't know if you are watching the news, but you know, when you see that what's going on, it's painful just to watch on TV what's going on. So I cannot imagine the pain and the suffering that's going on with those families right now. So let's keep praying for them. I have a couple of books that I would like to give tonight. Those who are visiting with us, I noticed there are some who are here for the first time. So I would like to give those books to them. And also I have books for everybody here for those. So it's one for here. Thank you. And there's two. Thank you. Welcome. And one more in the back. Yes. Very good. Thank you. Now remember that at the end, on this coming up Saturday, we will have more gifts. Especially, we're going to give tablets. So we ask for you to keep coming. Come back and learn a little more about the Word of God. And just to be able to be here and worship God and say thank you, God, because you are such a great God to us. And because we are in peace, we are in good weather, you know, and we have everything that we possibly can have or ask for, right? We have health. We come together as a church, as a family. We can pray, we can worship. And right now, when you think about it, right now there's a lot of people who cannot do that. We need to say that it's a blessing. And we need to say thank you. Thank you, Father, because we have this also an opportunity to come and do this. I know that, you know, when we have situations like this, sometimes it's hard to say somebody good, you know, a good word of encouragement or say something good to them so they can feel better. It's so hard because you can, there's not really a lot that you can say, you know, but I'm glad that the Bible always has something for us. And I would like to share with you something that I think that is very, very powerful. So it is in the book of Philippians, actually. Let me see if I don't. Yes. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4 is chapter. This is chapter 4, and then we're going to read verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. And this is what this version says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And give thanks for all he has done. What do you think about that? Let's do it one more time. This is, the Bible says, don't worry about anything. And it's so hard to tell somebody that, especially now. But this is what God is saying to us. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. This is the Bible saying. Tell God what you need and just give thanks to him for all he has done. And then number 7 says this. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful to know. It's wonderful to know that we can ask God for anything. For anything. And we can talk to him about anything. And he's there for us. So don't worry about anything tonight. Don't worry. Just talk to God tonight. Let God know exactly what's going on in your mind and your heart, and he will take care of the rest. Will you trust the word of God tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So at this time, I want to ask my brother Eric to pray for us, not only pray for us who are here, but also for us, for those who are facing difficulties right now and challenges, as they, some of them, they have lost everything. So let's keep praying for them in a special way. And some of you already know that the hurricane is coming to Florida, probably tonight or tomorrow, but you know, we need to keep praying for those brothers and sisters around the world as they're going through difficult times. Brother Eric?
Our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you once again for having this opportunity to be able to worship and praise your name, Lord. We want to thank you for everything you continue doing in our lives. And Lord, you heard the special petition for the couple that was coming here, and her husband has been ill with leukemia, which is why they're not here, Lord. Continue working in their lives and strengthening them. And help us to continue reaching out, Lord, because they want to know more about you. I want to pray for Antoinette and her husband. You know that he's ill, Lord, and they need your help and your assistance also, Lord. I also want to pray for those families that are being affected by the storm that's going through the coast and the Caribbean, as well as up Florida, Lord. I know that we know a young lady, Amy, and her child, Matthew, who left the area, headed to Georgia because of the storm that's heading their way. They were forced to evacuate. And I want to pray for these series and everybody that's attending them and that can't attend them for one reason or another, Lord, that you continue blessing us and filling us with your spirit, Lord. Continue blessing Pastor Albury with his message. It's very powerful to hear about the covenant, Lord. It's a different turn and twist of things that we know, and the way he highlights it and with the passion he gives it, Lord, all glory and honor to you, Lord. And we want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. This time we'll have special music, Pastor Hugh.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then with joy I'll carry on, until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remembered there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. Good evening, everyone. I would like to thank Pastor Langley for his ministry in music and the rendition, Until That Day When God Calls Me Home, one of my favorite hymns to meditate on. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I'm eager for God to come and call me home. How many of you are blessed to be at the Covenant series once again? Oh, God is good. Brothers and sisters, this week is going by quickly, isn't it? We just started on Sabbath, and it's Wednesday, and tomorrow is Thursday, and before you know it, it's Sabbath, and we're going to have to talk to the pastors and see if we can extend it another week. What do you say? But if you have not had the opportunity to be out night after night, but you're here tonight, then you're still in God's favor, because there's no better time than the present. How many of you remember last evening's topic? Circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the heart. We focused on the sign of the covenant. That was the entitled message last evening, where God made this covenant in the Abrahamic covenant, and one of those established covenants included a sign. Also, we know what perpetual signs are, and this circumcised heart is also a perpetual decision and a perpetual sign for us to designate and separate ourselves from the world as God's chosen people. God is looking for you and me to consecrate ourselves and to make this covenant with Him. This evening, we go a little bit further into the series. The title of the message this evening, The Pact. The Pact. The Pact. Bow your head with me as we pray. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we're just grateful that we are able to gather into your presence. We ask that your Holy Spirit dwell not just in this place, but in all hearts. Allow the promise of the Father, that power of the Holy Spirit to rest on our souls, on our minds, that we can contemplate, meditate, and just breathe you. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask that outside the door of this sanctuary, we leave the worries of the world, the anxiety, our distractions, and let us focus on you, that your word have life. We thank you bringing your people here this evening once more because of your grace and mercy, in order that they can hear finalized orders and mandates that they need in order to live a life that is worthy and pleasing in your sight. Bless them, bless their homes, their families represented here. And at the end of the day, let the folks hear you, see you, and you get the praise, the honor, the glory. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout the course of the week, throughout the course of the week, in an informal and unorthodox fashion, we've been able to take a look at a few various covenants that God made in the Bible, beginning in the Garden of Eden. We were able to touch on the Edenic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant.
We've even talked about the sign of the covenant, but tonight we want to go a little bit further, and I'm sure you'll figure it out. We're going to touch the Mosaic covenant this evening. Turn with me, brothers and sisters, to the book of Exodus, the book of Exodus chapter 19. When you found the book of Exodus chapter 19, someone say amen. Amen. Oh, and for those that are still in the process of finding it, we know you found it in faith, so we will follow along in your hearing. And I read from the Word of God here in Exodus chapter 19 from verse 3. The Word of God says, "And Moses went up," where? "Up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the" what? "Mountain, saying that thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I have did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." Verse 5, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and" what? "Keep my commandment, then ye shall be" a what? "Peculiar treasure unto me above whom? All people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me" a what? "A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." To sum it up, the Mosaic Covenant, this promise that God made to Moses and the people of Israel, was first to make his people and to make Israel his special possession among the people of the land, among the people of the earth. We said it last night, the sign of the covenant, God wants to circumcise your heart because he wants to separate you from the world. We also remembered Father Abraham, how God wants to enlarge our territories and increase our stature and enrich our legacy and our lineage. And in doing this, we become his special possession. The second point in the Mosaic Covenant is that God wanted to make Israel a what? A kingdom of priests and a what? Holy nation. Some of the same promises made to Abraham, Noah, are now being made to the people in the generation during the time in which Moses was chosen to lead the people. And it's no different than the promise he's making with you and I today. He wants to make you and I his special possession. There's a story. A young man graduated in high school, and you know, he went out to one of those dinners that the parents would have just to celebrate this accolade and accomplishment in his life. And at that table was his grandfather, the patriarch of the family, proud that his grandson not only finished high school, was on the verge of culminating and beginning his time in college, in the collegiate world, graduated with high accolades. He was the valedictorian. So the grandfather wanted to know if his son was headed on, or grandson, was focused on a trajectory that was pleasing and approving of him. The grandfather asked the son, "So what's your plans when you go to college?" The grandson replied, "Well, you know, granddad, after, you know, when I go to college, I want to get my bachelor's in business. And then after that, I want to go and do my master's in international administration." He said, "Great, then what next?" "Well, then, of course, you know, I want to put all of those loans and those scholarships to use. And I want to get a good job in corporate America." "Wonderful. I'm sure you'll accomplish it," granddad said. "But what next?" "Well, you know, eventually buy a home, get a nice car, nice clothes. Maybe settle down, get a girlfriend." "Oh, that sounds good." And granddad keeps going on and says, "So then what next?" "Well, I mean, nature will take its course." I'll probably marry that young lady I settled down with. We'll have a few kids. Eventually, I'll watch my children grow up, and soon enough, they'll be at graduation, and I'll be asking them, what are you planning to do with your life? And grandfather said, yeah, you have a smart mouth. But he says, it seems as if you have all of these plans, and all of these plans you're making seems wonderful, but in none of those plans did you say, I want to ensure that I get to the kingdom. You see, in the world in which we live, we're so focused on making titles, things, people. We want to have and possess it all. We have this expectation of where our lives should be. And then Jesus is telling you and I, he wants to make you his special possession. Being a special possession for Christ does not entail you shining bright all the time. God doesn't always have you on display in a glass. You ever heard about the diamond in the rough? Has anyone seen a diamond before it's cut? In its purest and natural form with the minerals around it? Some of us are still that peculiar treasure. As verses 5 says here in this covenant, that God wanted you and I to keep his commandment, and that we should be a what? Peculiar treasure. Now, one thing I know about treasure, you never expect to find it where you're looking for it. Another thing about treasure can be hidden deep within the earth, deep, hidden away from the world, but at its right time, when found and displayed, it can have its full value. So you may be questioning yourself, how can I be a peculiar treasure? Remember at the beginning of this series, I told you, Satan wants you to question your what? Your dignity. Hence the reason why a lot of us don't believe that we are what? Created in the image of God. One of the first covenants was that you would understand your true worth and your true value. That's what we struggle with. We struggle with this idea that God has a special plan for me. And now he's using words like a peculiar treasure. When the world around me wants to tear you down, they want to lower your self-esteem and cause you to question your worth. And God is saying, not only are you a peculiar treasure, but you're my possession, and I want you to be separated from the world. He's saying, the world can't have you. You're mine. That's his covenant. The world wants to put a value on you. And no matter how many millions, or no matter what titles or accolades or what anything you could put a stamp to make it seem as if you portray an image of wealth or prosperity, the only way to find prosperity is staying in the covenant with Jesus Christ. This holy nation, brothers and sisters, God has been trying time and time again to make you and I a holy people. Does this entail perfection? Anyone in here perfect? James? Wow, I was about to ask James, what's the secret? The Bible says that we have not what? Yet obtained it, but we should press. Meaning that even though you may never obtain perfection because you're a sinner, doesn't mean that you shouldn't try. This is so crucial in the Mosaic covenant, because guess what, brothers and sisters? In order for us to be considered that holy nation, God had to follow this up with requirements and laws. This pact that God made with Israel after the Exodus was one in order that they themselves would understand what it was to be a recipient of grace, but yet they would still have the road map that leads to the kingdom. The recipiency of grace comes in when you have the roadmap, but you know when the roadmap is telling you to go one way, but you take a detour, you want to take a shortcut. That's when you become a recipient of grace. And God always has a way of getting us right back on path, right back where we belong. To sum it up, Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 and through 40, just to give our eyes a refreshing look at some of Scripture's new covenant instructions. And yes, a lot of folks, we are aware of what the Mosaic covenant includes in the book of Exodus chapter 20, when it speaks about the Ten Commandments, for which Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive these laws and requirements in order that you and I could be that holy nation and that special possession. Verse 36 of chapter 22 in the book of Matthew, the word of God says, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love whom? The Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, it wasn't good enough that Jesus was able to hang all the commandments and all the laws and all the prophets in 10. He reduced it to 2. Because some of us struggle with the 10. God gave you a major law, then he gave you a minor law. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. You cannot do it halfway in. In order for you to fulfill your part of the pact, you've got to jump in and you've got to give Jesus your all. Remember what I said. In order that you could be a recipient of this covenant and of his grace, it doesn't mean perfection. Meaning jumping in, right, does not entail that you have to figure out how to go about keeping the law. That is what the promise, remember brothers and sisters, the promise of the Father, which is the promise of the Holy Spirit, is what's going to enable you and empower you to keep the law in order that you can remain a peculiar treasure. God doesn't want to decrease your value. He wants to increase your value. And he's left commandments and laws. When you go back to the book of Exodus in chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, as we continue in the Mosaic covenant, you know these commandments. The first one is what? Thou shalt love, have no other gods before me. What is the second one? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is above heaven or that is in the earth beneath it or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down before thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Those three, and then you go on to the fourth. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Those three, brothers and sisters, they focus primarily on the image of God and our desire to want to reflect that image of God. You remember at the beginning of this series, the two perspectives, unconditional and conditional. And remember when I told you that the conditional perspective was one where people knew that the covenant would never change, but it did not exempt divine judgment. The second perspective was the unconditional perspective, where, yes, the covenant would never change, right? But unless the people failed to comply, they would what? They would receive the wrath of God. Once again, judgment. So here it is, God is leaving rules and regulations for the people of Israel, you and me, his holy nation, for us to maintain our worth, our purpose. And at the same time, we're still the ones in possession with the freedom to choose what our value is. God knows our value, brothers and sisters. How many of you have ever been into a jewelry store? Anyone been into a jewelry store? Anybody in here ever been to a pawn shop? P-A-W-N? Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. Things were tough. Tough times. You had to go to the pawn shop. You know one of the amazing things about a pawn shop? When you go into a pawn shop, you know the worth of your possession. But when you go inside the pawn shop, you got the pawn owner or the broker or whatever he is, he's trying to bargain with you and reduce the price and tell you what you got ain't worth what you want. Or it's a constant back and forth. You want 100, but he's telling you 40. And then you told him, I want 100, but I bought it for 1,000. You see, you know your worth. As long as you maintain connected to the Holy Spirit, as long as you maintain a relationship with Jesus Christ, and as long as you increase your value by keeping on the path of righteousness, by keeping his commands, his laws, and his precepts, you've kept your part of the pact. Any binding agreement has rules and regulations. Only problem is, God has not made this rules and regulations in such a fine print. He's not trying to dupe you and me. He's not the one who's getting the better part of the bargain. We are the ones getting the better part of the bargain. He's giving us everything and asking for so little. Just commitment. Just commitment. Just commitment. Brothers and sisters, if God's desires to save you and I went about on the way he felt, some of us wouldn't be here right now. Some of us are deserving of God's wrath. Because we fail to comply. We fail to obey. God says, don't put anything before me. We put everything before. Just like the Israelites, after God had delivered them out of the Egypt and throughout the Exodus, and they crossed the Red Sea, and brothers and sisters, they're in the wilderness and they're questioning God. Not God who sent 10 plagues, but God who sent 10 miracles to deliver them. They're still questioning God. What I love about this is when you look in Leviticus and you go into scripture, and I don't want to stray away, but what's so sweet about this is that Moses went up to Sinai to receive commands from the Lord. But do you know when he was up on the mountain, the people were down in the camp trying to pressure the priest who should have been separated to build a golden image to worship? Same people who were delivered by God, even the Israelites, were pressured by those of various cultures and diversities. There were people who weren't Israelites that were trickling along during this Exodus, you know. People just wanted to get out. But Moses came down off that hill, and when he saw what was going on, you know what happened. He told the folks, those that are on the side of the Lord, take up thy sword, and you must go and lash your neighbor. And everyone, Brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, God is going to ask you, who are you being faithful to? Are you going to have another God before him? Are you going to put certain images before him? Are you going to lift people up or things up before him? Or are you going to put God first? Because he's going to ask you, whose side are you leaning on? And I want to respond, I'm leaning on the Lord's side. As you go through the Ten Commandments that God has left for you and me, he's given us a command to keep his Sabbath day holy, not to labor in it. There's a reason why God wants us to take advantage of his Sabbath. You see, we celebrate life. We celebrate creation. We celebrate salvation when we keep the Sabbath day holy. It goes on talking about honoring thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy neighbor's ox or his ass, his manservant, and nor his maidservant, nor anything under thy neighbor's or next to thy neighbor's. You know how the scripture goes. The question I want to ask you, how many of you in here have been struggling with keeping Ten Commandments? How many of you know the Ten Commandments? And we struggle keeping those ten, right? We struggle with it. And typically, brothers and sisters, you know what's so amazing? We don't struggle with the last six. We always struggle with the first four. We always struggle when it comes to reflecting the image of God. We always struggle when it comes to committing to God himself and worshiping him. We always struggle when it comes to keeping the covenant of Christ, which is to have no other gods before him. And yes, there are rules and regulations that attach, but brothers and sisters, if there's one that you should remember, is the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and thy mind. That's the covenant he wants you to have. Nothing else matters. Yes, brothers and sisters. God has decided that you and I are his peculiar people. I don't know about you, but I accept this pact. There's so much treasure in God's word, especially laws and regulations. But you know, if God was to judge us based on laws, some of you and I would never receive salvation. But brothers and sisters, he's definitely going to judge you and I based on the love you have towards him, the way you reflect him. Because whether or not we are his possession. There's no running away from it. And he wants to separate you from the world. That's why he's asking you to make a decision, a concrete decision. Be my holy nation. Being a holy people does not mean that you have to be pompous and righteous and pious. No, it means that holiness entails separating yourself away. The world is telling you it's okay to have some wine. Wine is not like liquor. No. It will benumb the senses. You see, Satan always wants you to compromise. He doesn't want you to break. He just wants you to compromise. Because that's how he's going to get you. He doesn't want you to just disobey God's command, you know. Satan's attempt is to make you an advocate for his purpose. That's why he's going to get you to compromise, where you can't even see the faults in your behavior, the faults in our decision not to commit ourselves to Jesus Christ. That's how he's going to get us. But brothers and sisters, if we follow God's commands, if we keep his holy scripture, if we keep his covenant, we shall inherit eternal life. How many of you, brothers and sisters, still believe that this evening? How many of you believe that God has a pact with you in order that if you keep his commands, you become his peculiar people. If you separate yourself as priests, he didn't just say a holy nation. He wants each of you to become priests. Now, I'll tell you something. Only way that's going to happen is with the Holy Spirit. School didn't make me a pastor. Education didn't make me a pastor. The Holy Spirit makes you a pastor. The Holy Spirit will make you a priest. He will make you that instrument. And remember, he has a plan to enrich your legacy, and he has a plan for your life and a destiny. Of course, he wants to make you his mouthpiece. But he can't do that unless we commit. Brothers and sisters, this evening, God is asking you to remember his laws, his commands once more. He's asking you to commit to him every day, to keep his commands. The same covenants he made with Noah and Adam, Moses, he's making with you and I right now, every day. We have that opportunity to accept that same covenant. And brothers and sisters, if it's your desire to accept and keep this covenant, this Mosaic covenant, to be a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure, and to be holy nation of high priests, to do God's will and to consecrate yourself to God, will you stand this evening? Will you stand this evening? No, it's not going to be easy. Our side of the bargain is never easy, because we're sinful by nature. Flesh is carnal. We're inclined to sin. We can't help it. But I wanted to know, what inclinations did Christ have in order that he would leave his celestial throne, his position, come down here, dwell with you and me, be ridiculed, spat on, abused, die, resurrect again? And even after that, for people to even doubt in him is just a mere disrespect for what he has done. And he's asking you and I not to doubt this covenant that he's made between you and I. Don't doubt it. Let not one doubt sink into your mind. He has a plan for you. He has a desire to use you. His sole purpose has been to save you. And this evening we can say, thank you, Jesus, for saving a sinner like me. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this evening that you've given us the opportunity to be reminded to keep your laws and your commands. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your greatest commandments, to love you with all our hearts, minds, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Oh, Heavenly Father, those two laws are powerful because it reflects the image of God that you want to be reflected in our lives, in order that it will soon reflect into the world. And it's just a mere expression of the magnitude of your grace and love towards humanity. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blood that sealed the deal. Oh, Heavenly Father, every individual that's here, bless them, touch them, protect them, guide them. Thank you for putting a safe hedge around them this week in order that they can come here and just continue to receive just new ways of approaching this new forged deep relationship and keeping this covenant with you. Oh, rebuke the devil who wants to discourage, rebuke, and literally strip their lives. But I ask that you continue to preserve it today as you've done it yesterday, and you will continue to do tomorrow. Allow the promise of the Father to be remain with us as we leave this place. Keep us safe. Let us focus on your laws and your precepts, and most important, your second coming, which is soon. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with those family members that may be in various places, countries where there are disasters. Oh, Heavenly Father, inclement weather. But you've promised that this earth would no longer be destroyed by flood, that it would be destroyed with fire. So, Heavenly Father, we hold on to that promise, but we also ask that you protect them, guide them, protect those nations, and choose and uplift your holy people even within those nations, even in the midst of this disaster and trials that are happening around the world. And at the end of the day, dear God, we just ask that you just be with us as we return to our homes. Bring us back tomorrow night, if it is your will. And at the end of the night, we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Let all God's people say, Amen. Tomorrow evening, you want to be here, 7 o'clock, don't miss out. Tomorrow's entitled message, which we should have had on Tuesday, but we swapped, deal or no deal. Brothers and sisters, deal or no deal. Bring a friend, bring a neighbor, bring your cats, your dogs, but bring your kettles and your leashes too. At the end of the day, just make sure you're here, 7 o'clock. Have a wonderful, blessed evening.